Well, praise God. It's very good to be with you all again today. The last couple songs that we just sang, you could feel the spiritual energy wanting to touch our hearts. And that's what God wants, you know.
Amen.
It says, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So we trust that as we gather together this afternoon, the Spirit of God will minister to us. Amen. How many of us need the Spirit of God to minister? As Brother Bert was ministering this morning, there were certain scripture verses that were coming to me, and I believe in the prophetic word. You know what it means by the prophetic word? It is something that doesn't come from man's mind or what man would think what would be good for you to hear. But the prophetic word is that which comes by the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God knows what we need to hear. And when the Spirit of God speaks, we need to respond. Hallelujah. So I believe that God wants to continue on the vein that He was speaking this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and verse 8. Revelation 19, and verse 8. Brother Bert read this morning out of verse 7, where he talked about, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Who is the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb. Who is His wife? Well, we're to be the bride of Christ, right? So let us look at verse 8. And it explains something here. And it says, and to her, that is the wife, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. That means arrayed means clothed upon. It's the fine linen is to be clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So we are to be clothed with fine linen. But it's not natural clothes, but it's spiritual clothes. Amen. So we're to be clothed with the linen that comes from above. I'm going to draw a picture of the tabernacle here. Now, to most of you have had teachings on the tabernacle. So you are not unfamiliar with it. And I have been a student of the tabernacle for 35 years. And I feel I have only learned so little of what God has when it pertains to this tabernacle. This tabernacle is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's also a picture of you, the church. It is also a picture of our progression in Christ. This part here is called the gate. And Jesus said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. How many of you here are born again? Raise your hands if you're born again. Okay, I see almost every one of you are born again. If you're not, you need to be. So when we become born again, we begin our entrance into the tabernacle, or I should say into the outer court. And the brazen altar is symbolic of our salvation. Amen. Everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Because it was at the brazen altar, which is representative of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the shedding of blood for sin. Because the word teaches us the life is in the blood. I remember the day that I was born again, June 27th, 1980, around 10 o'clock at night. I was born again and Christ became my Savior. It was not just something that I said with my lips, but it was a life transformation. Because when my innermost being cried out to be saved and repent of my sins, the blood of Jesus Christ came to me and touched my soul. And so the blood became payment for my sin. And I, who was once dead in sin and trespasses, I became alive that night by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you see, it says, by one man death entered into the world. It was through Adam's transgression that sin entered into the world, and thereby death by sin. So every man born after that, except for Jesus Christ, was not only born in sin, but was born a dead soul. Now we know that the soul is made up of four parts. Our mind, our emotions, our desires, and our will. And so, for me, I will give myself as an example. I was 27 years old when I was saved. Up to that point, those 27 years of living, I was really dead. Now I'm talking about being spiritually dead. I was dead to the reality of God. I was dead to heaven itself. My captivity was in hell. And Satan was my captor. But that night that I became born again, the only thing that can bring me from death unto life in my soul was the blood. So the very life that's in the blood of Jesus Christ now touched my soul, and my soul became alive. That's why we sing that song, Thanks for the Blood. Thanks for the blood. We should thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there would be no remission for my sin nor your sin. And I want to share something else with you. You know, there's a lot of denominations and churches out there, right? And if you went to them and you asked them, where is the true church? What do you think they would say? They said, my church is a true church. You go to another church. Where is the true church? And they would say, my church is a true church. And if I came here today and said, this church is this gathering of people, where is the true church? What would you say? Would you say you're the true church?
Huh?
Is this the true church?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. But how do you know every church says they're the true church? What do you think Jesus says? It's very simple. And actually, the doctrines of God are very simple. If we look at the tabernacle, anything outside of the tabernacle is a type of the world. It is also the type of Egypt. So, we're talking about where the true church is. Okay, before I was born again, I was out here. We can also say another word for being outside the tabernacle is being in darkness. But when Christ came to me and revealed to me that I was in need to be saved, and I say that because you know what? The Word of God teaches us that it is the Father that draws us.
Huh?
It wasn't that I first first loved God and then God came to me. It was because he first loved me and he drew me to him. And the night I became born again, or saved, I came out of darkness and I started to come into the light. And immediately the blood of Jesus Christ made me alive. So I'm going to give you the answer to where the true church is. The true church is every person who's born again. We have brethren that are in all various parts of Christianity. If they're born again, they're part of God's church.
Amen.
Because that automatically, it doesn't matter wherever, you know, there's a lot of people that are deceived. Now, let's just say, let me give you, for instance, the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church. That's a little familiar to all of you, isn't it? Because the Philippines is a majority of Catholicism. Amen? And I'll tell you something about myself. I used to be a Roman Catholic until I became born again. Now I can also tell you that the vast majority of Roman Catholics are in need of being saved. Because they do not actively preach that salvation is by faith. In fact, they give the false impression to almost all of its church members that you were saved at your infant water baptism. It's a doctrine that gives people a false hope and leads them to hell. But I actually know a few people in the Catholic Church who are born again. In fact, we water baptize a Roman Catholic. Because he was genuinely saved and he came to us and he says, I'm in need of being water baptized. But sad to say, he did not have the strength enough to come out of the Catholic Church. Now we can talk about other churches like evangelical churches, Baptist churches. That preach about salvation. And when people hear and believe God, they are genuinely saved. But again, it's not being in a certain church that makes you born again. But it's your personal response to God as He calls you. So it's important for you to understand that we have brethren that are born again because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to pray for our brethren. But do you also know that not everybody says they're born again or born again? I've met people that said they were born again, but the Spirit of God spoke very clearly they weren't born again. And you had to minister to them because if they truly believe it, they're deceived. Come on, how many of you that are saved share the good news with other people? Aren't we to be witnesses throughout all the world? But you know the Spirit of God wants to work with the people. With you and I. That we must have discernment. And that only comes through experience. God wants us to be aware and to know. The one part of the scripture says, know those who labor among you. And that can be on many levels. Okay, we're talking about the picture of the church here. And when we were speaking in Revelation, that the fine linen of the saints is the righteousness. Where do we have fine white linen in the tabernacle? She was speaking about the outer court, the linen that surrounded the whole outside of the tabernacle. That white linen, again, is symbolic of righteousness. Can we say it? Righteousness. Can we say it all again? Righteousness. Hallelujah. I think this morning, Brother Bert, you quoted the scripture verse that says, you must be righteous, right? How many of us want the power and the anointing of God in our lives? Amen? The power and the anointing comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We want to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, the scriptures also tell us, and I believe it's in the book of Job, where he says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Does any one of us want to stand spiritually naked before God? Well, we can if we are not righteous. I remember one time a servant of God was ministering. And he was sharing about the spiritual realm. And he said that spirits come in, you know. And not the spirit with the capital S. Uh-huh. You know, spirits come into church, you know. Did you know that? Oh, yes. And when they come in, they see in the spirit where you are at spiritually. We could be all up praising the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. We love you, Jesus. But you know, in the spiritual realm, there's different degrees of light working inside of each one of us. And the spirits look to see. Now, if they see an individual full of light, they shrink away from that person. But if that person, or even Christian, that their clothing is dim, it looks for an avenue to come to you. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Amen.
What makes our clothing dull? All right, if I am to have the righteousness, the clothing of righteousness, the power and the glory and the light of God, the opposite of righteousness would be what?
Unrighteousness,
darkness, or sin.
Sin.
Because the Bible teaches us that our sins separate us from God. So this is why God wants us to repent. And repentance isn't just a one-time thing, you know. Oh, when I became born again, I repented. And I don't need to repent anymore. Brethren, I have to repent every day of my life. What do I have to repent of? Sin. But sometimes sin needs to be defined. Just being me is sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? It says that the carnal mind is enemy to God. Our earthly way of thinking. God has not called us to be human, He's called us to be divine. You know, I'm looking out at all many, many, many young people. And a lot of us, a little older people, we're young like you. And to tell you the truth, there isn't anything that you think of that we haven't already thought of. Good and bad. And you know what? Experience is the greatest teacher, isn't it, Medlin? That's why the Bible says to respect your elders. Your elders. Why? Because they, things that you have yet to go through, they've already went through. And a lot of times when ministers are up ministering the Word of God, they're ministering by experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
You know, I have a desire for you young people. But my desire, I really believe, is based out of the Spirit of God. Because when I look upon you all have the potential to be a Paul, to be a Peter, to be a Timothy, to be a Lydia, to be a Mary. And that's why this Bible that we read, we really need to get to know it. How many of us want to be righteous here today? Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Hear the word of God. Because, you know, it says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. And as we are all sitting here right now, and as you are wanting something that is of God, God's Spirit is speaking to each of you. He may be speaking something to you, young lady, that's far different than the young lady sitting next to you, or to this young man, or to this young man. Because the Spirit of God is searching to and fro all the hearts, finding one whose heart would be completely give himself to God. And do you know what else? The Spirit of God is not only seeking, but the Spirit of God is convicting. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying, young man? The Spirit of God is convicting us of sin and unrighteousness. And I want to share something else with you. That in every meeting where the presence of God is, the spirit of repentance is present. Do you ever understand that Scripture has three dimensions? It's got a natural, it's got a spiritual, and it's got a fullness to it. So let us take the Scripture verse that every evangelist uses. That it says in John, it says that God so loved the world. It says that so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, a lot of us equate that to salvation, don't we? But here I am, a servant of God. I hold on to that same scripture verse today. Because if I'm being tempted, or if I've sinned, I still must call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation just isn't being born again. But salvation is a continuing saving of my soul. Christ gave a blow to the enemy. And the devil had no more right on my soul to take me to hell. But though my soul was touched by the blood, I found I still was dealing with impure thoughts. Impure desires. My emotions could be deceived, led down a wrong path, and my will needed to be strengthened. So salvation is a continual thing that works in our life. As we submit to it. Because you know what? I was once saved on June 27th, 1980. And for the past 34 years I'm being saved. Salvation means deliverance. Salvation means deliverance. And the end result of salvation is that I will be totally saved. Conditional. If I follow on to know the Lord. Hallelujah. You know that we are living in the time of the end. How many people here believe that we're living in the end times? Raise your hands if you believe it. Okay. I believe we're living in the end times. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, you have the seven churches, which is also symbolic of the seven church ages. And when you come down to the last church age, which would be at the end time, we see that it is the church of Laodicea. And God called it the lukewarm church. Now you study it out in Revelation chapter 3. The church thought that it was in a good position with God. They thought they had everything. But God says, don't you realize you're what? You're poor, you're destitute, you're blind, and you're naked. This last church age is naked before God. Oh, it could have its big churches. It could have all their programs. All the numbers of people being, quote, saved. But God said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. How many of us would want God to spit us out of his mouth? I don't. But do you know, God told them, He gave them an opportunity to repent. And God is giving this church age an opportunity to repent. But He said, He says, try me to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And gold is representative of what? It's the nature of God. Brother, do you have the 100% nature of God in your being? No. How about you, brother? Do you have the 100% nature of God in your being? Yeah, well, you don't want to answer that. How about you? Do you have the full nature of God within you? In your thinking? In your desires? Does anybody hear?
No.
But God is wanting us to get that nature inside of us. Hallelujah. Don't be satisfied with sin in your life. Even though sin has a pleasure for a season, the end of it is death. Brother Bert was talking about Samson, remember? And Samson had a lot of weaknesses, didn't he? But the deception of Samson was that he thought he could still rise at any time and the Spirit be with him. But one day it was gone. He no more had the strength of God. And he became captive to his enemy. Hallelujah. So brethren, we're talking about the righteousness of God. You know, as a young Christian, I had a lot of struggles. I was born again. God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. But I had to learn to overcome youthful desires. And do you know that when you're in the crossroads in the multitude of decisions, say this side is God. This side is the world. And there's a pull. You know? There's a pull. You know, that's why God says He's wished that you were either hot. Or cold. Because you know God can deal with colder people better than lukewarm people. But when you're continually fighting between two opinions, you don't have the peace of God. You don't have the strength of God. But you're in a place of a valley of decisions. What am I going to do? Day in, day out. That's why the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen? Amen. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because I'm telling you, no decision is a decision. If you're halting between two decisions, it really means that you're not giving yourself wholly to God. And in the realms of the Spirit, God is wanting to woo you. But because you're in decisions, the spirits of hell are there to pull you down. And can you lose your salvation? Bible students, are you once saved, always saved?
No.
So we can lose our salvation, can't we? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness." This picture of the tabernacle declares that we should or must be righteous. The second piece of furniture is the brazen laver. It's symbolic. It's of the washing of the water by the word of God. It's also speaking of our sanctification and consecration to God. But until you fulfill this requirement in your Christian walk, you will not be able to enter into this place. Which is called the holy place. And this is the place where we begin our intimate relationship with God. But the vast majority of the church is really out in this outer court. But as we obey God, because it says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Obedience is the key to righteousness, you know. Obedience. And the other thing I want to share with you, especially all you young Bible students, there's no other way in your progression with God. That's why he says it's the straight and narrow path. I can't be at the brazen altar and born again and decide to, let me circumvent the brazen altar. You can't do it. You can't do it. You must go in the progression of God that God has prescribed. Do you remember what it says in John chapter 10? Jesus said, "I am the door." Right? The only way through is the door. If you try to go any other way, you're a thief and a liar. Hallelujah. The Lord knows what's in our hearts, brethren. So we must submit to God. Let's look into 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe Brother Bert was speaking this morning about faith. And 2 Peter, it's a building block. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm way over, okay, one more. 2 Peter 1, it says here, and beside this, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. Go ahead, sister. So we need to be diligent in our faith. Amen. Come on, we need to be diligent in our faith, in belief towards God. But on that faith, we need to have virtue. And that virtue is moral excellence. Would you like to raise somebody from the dead? Would you like to raise somebody from the dead? How about you? Huh? You? I would like to raise somebody from the dead. But how can we raise someone from the dead? By the virtue of God within us. Because without virtue, we have not the power. Do you remember the story of the woman with the bloody issue? And Jesus was walking through the crowds. And this woman had an infirmity for 7 years. It says she spent all her money trying to be healed, and no one could heal her. But one day, as Jesus walked by, this woman had the faith to believe in him. People were everywhere. And the thought came to her, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. She pressed through the crowd, and Jesus didn't turn around and said, what do you need? All he could do was walk, and he felt something pull out of him. Because the woman, when she touched his garment, life came out of her and she was healed. Amen. But let's look a little closer at this particular time that happened with Jesus. Because as he walked, people everywhere, he said to his disciples, who touched me? The disciples didn't know, the people everywhere. And he said, what do you mean, who touched you? He said, someone touched me. Because virtue went out of me. The virtue went out of Jesus, touched the woman, and she was made whole. So where do we get the power when we pray? To believe by faith, but also the power of virtue, moral excellence, the presence of God within you.
Amen.
Do you remember what I said? Your sins separate us from God. If we have sin in our lives, you don't have the virtue, have the power to do what Jesus did. Now, God will honor anything, you know. Huh? Right? Right? I mean, hey, God used a donkey to talk to Balaam. Right? I have seen ministries in sin, TV ministries in sin. And yet people get saved. Was it that ministry that saved them? No. It was that person that was hearing from God that says, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's not the power when you see men doing all these things that seem to have power. Because other spirits are present as well. But I'm telling you something here. You want a walk with God? You want the presence of God manifest in your life that you can touch others? Then seek righteousness. Seek holiness. If you are in the throngs or in the grass of Satan right now, you need to repent. And repentance is a three-step process. Do we know what the three-step process is? Do you know it? Okay. First step in repentance is to stop what you're doing. The second step is to turn away from it. And the third and most important step of repentance is that you turn to God. Because first you could stop, you could repent of your sin, and God can forgive you of your sin. But if you don't turn to God and keep towards Him, then you don't fill that empty presence that God washed. You have to fill that empty void that was cleansed by Jesus Christ with the life of God. I want to share one more scripture verse and then I think we should pray. It's found in both the Old and the New Testament. We can look first in Proverbs 26:11. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Well, we we could read 10, 11, and 12. I'll read those three verses, then you could read it, then, sister, okay? It says here in 11, or we started 10, the great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Do you know what that means? Huh? Okay. Go ahead and read that. Go ahead, she could read verse 10. Do you know what that means by God saying He rewards both the fools and the transgressors? Doesn't that seem strange? Okay, I'll tell you. There is a universal law in the heavens called the law of sowing and reaping. I believe it's in Galatians chapter 6, isn't it, Mark? About the law of sowing and reaping, it says that whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. That if he sows to the flesh, he shall reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will reap eternal life. So I'll read 11 and 12. Now listen close to this, everyone. It says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Okay, if we turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now listen to this. Ah, my goodness. We're going to read 20, 21, and 22. I'll read the three verses and then you can, sister, okay? All right. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Brethren, I beseech you, I do not want to be like a dog that will return to my own vomit, speaking of where I was brought out of. nor like a sow that was clean to go back into the mud. So the church needs to do business with the condition of their soul. And I believe the Spirit of God is here, that if you know you need to do business with God, if you're involved in sin, impure thoughts, whatever it is that Satan has a right over to you, you need to repent. But if I believe that you will repent before God, He will come and wash you today. He will clean you today. But you also got to be determined, not only that you want to be clean, but you want to turn holy to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think before I would step down, if anybody would want to come forward for prayer for that, well, I will pray for you today. You feel you need a touch from God, and you feel the power of sin bringing you down, then I believe you should come forward and we can pray for you. Come, Brother Burke. Hallelujah.
You know the things that each and every one are involved in. Father, you see those things even that are done in secret when they think there is no one looking or
And
Father, that action has brought a stain upon their garments. Some situations, Father, it has caused a canker to begin to eat away at the foundation of their life.
Oh God.
Father, we come this afternoon on the basis of the Word of God. The Word of God says if we are confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. And Father, as we stand here before you, we confess our unrighteousness. We confess our lack of desire for you. We confess our position of lethargy towards you.
Among the sultan,
We confess our position of sin and degradation. So Father, we are asking for your blood.
Yes.
Your blood to touch our mind. Touch our emotions. Touch our desires, O God. Oh, Father, and that which has perpetrated wickedness in our hearts and in our soul. And has caused weakness in our flesh. Father, we confess and ask for the healing virtue of that blood. Father, we pray that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation. We ask, Father, that you would repair and regenerate that which the caterpillar has eaten. You give us the strength to be righteous. Father, the Bible says that if we are faithful to confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us. Father, wash us with that water of regeneration. Drink to be more diligent in the working out of our salvation. Give us an excitement concerning your word. That we might saturate ourselves with that word and washing. Father, the Bible says that you have sent your word. That word has healed our diseases.
Yeah.